Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Your attention, please.
Your attention, please.
Your attention, please.
And now the moment we've been waiting for is here.
I have something to tell you.
Hi everybody, and it's Sam McSorley here, and welcome to Health Matters on Fresh FM. I've decided to cut a series of natural fertility management. It's a passion of mine, together with autism, and the reason why I think the two marry well together is that we are seeing more and more autistic cases in children throughout New Zealand. Geographically, it changes, and there's definitely a correlation there between toxins and the environment and neurodevelopmental issues in children, autism and ADHD being the two primary ones. So I thought good to start with preconception care. So this 9-part series is going to look at, as I say, natural fertility management, looking at preconception care, looking at in utero environment, natural fertility issues, male fertility, egg condition, sperm condition, IVF, mindfulness, the list goes on. So tune in. It should be an interesting time. So I'd just like to start this morning with preconception care. And essentially what that means is it's care that's provided in order to prepare a couple for pregnancy. And during my time in clinic, it's often the belief system is the onus is on the woman, and because she's the one that's carrying the child. But we're seeing more and more issues with male fertility problems due to their sperm production and condition. So it involves both partners, and this is just generically speaking about heterosexual partners, but of course if you have same-sex couples, the same does also apply. So you might have the donor egg coming from one of the females, for example, and the other female is actually carrying the baby. So this applies to everybody that's having a child. It usually begins 3 to 4 months before conception, and largely it involves turning yourself inside out and with lifestyle changes, and involves nutrition and also supplementation. So why is it so important? It's preparing your blueprint. So it's 50% your DNA and 50% your partner's DNA. So it's really important to look at the health of both of those potential parents or future parents to pass on healthy blueprint. And that's ensuring that you've got, you know, good quantity of nutrients for proper development of egg and sperm, which is why we allow 3 to 4 months prior to conception. Just something that jumps in as well is that there's been some studies done across the Western communities in Australia. In particular, the study comes from looking at a baby's in their umbilical cord has 200 different toxins that have been identified. So it's really important to look at this blueprint, especially for those individuals who are genetically vulnerable to toxic exposure. And sorry to be the depressant here, but we live in a very toxic environment. So sperm and egg development and maturation takes about 4 months. So couples have a long time to make those improvements. And important considerations include toxic burden, nutrition, hormonal imbalance, which is something I'll talk about throughout the series, body weight composition. So, for example, if you have a morbidly obese mother looking to conceive, the chances of her child having a congenital heart defect are higher than those from a slimmer mother. Stress levels, of course, that's one of the key things that I see in my clinic, is that individuals who are stressed about conceiving and indeed can't conceive, once we control those stress levels, or manage those stress levels rather, you can get conception. And then of course we have emotional considerations too. So In preparation, there was a foresight study that was done looking at 367 couples over a two-year period. And what they found for couples who had a previous history of infertility or miscarriage or stillbirth or malformations or SIDS, after basic preconception care, there was an increased outcome of live births. So we do know that reducing toxic burden and those other important considerations like nutrition and stress can have an impact. So preconception care isn't about just getting pregnant, it's about your genetics and it's definitely about your lifestyle. So we're looking at nature versus nurture here. So genetic changes that can happen is, so you know, we are 50% DNA from our mum and 50% DNA from our father. And what's really interesting is that my grandmother and my great-grandmother's nutritional status had an effect on my grandmother, had an effect on my mother, and then had an effect on me. And so we know from post-war, where there was times of famine, that you're more likely to have issues with health if you had famine and starvation around your great-grandmother, for example. And there's a lot of studies to point to that and to give, you know, good statistical evidence on such. So we know nutrition is a large, large role in your genetic blueprint. And so what we can see from nutritional deficits, toxic exposure, is that you can get mutations with these DNA strands and they can cause deletions of a particular gene. So you just don't get coded for it. So looking at autism, for example, that these children have issues with actually detoxifying because they haven't been coded the right genes to detoxify the toxic environment in which we live in. And we call these also SNPs, and SNPs are single nucleotide proteins, and so these can get polymorphisms. And I liken it with my patients to a zip. So you've got two teeth and a zip, and so you can have one tooth doesn't quite work right, and so the zip will go up, but it doesn't go up as well as we would like it to. And that's a good analogy for how genes can also work or not work. Now, the most common one that we are versed with, of course, in fertility issues are the MTHFR gene. And MTHFR is methyl tetrahydrofolate reductase. We don't really need to know that, but that's involved in your folate metabolism. And there's about five other genes before that involved in folate metabolism. But folate metabolism, of course, is crucial for fertility and for going on to produce antioxidant pathways in the body. So in my clinic, I use genetic profiling, which is really important if we're looking at fertility issues. We can start to then look at that genetic profile of that person, and then we can look at tailoring lifestyle and nutritional advice based on that actual your profile. So for a long time, the paradigm in research was that genetics would provide understanding of the basis of disease. And there's particular genes, you know, that have more research done on them than others. And those are the ones that we look at in a genetic profile when we're looking at a wellness check. So genes, you know, they can't possibly explain all of what makes us up, but it does give us a greater insight into what's going on for that particular person. So in my experience, lifestyle in patients is one of the hardest things to change. And I started to reflect on why that was. Was it because I was being too prescriptive with my pad and, you know, generating all of these lifestyle changes? And so what I prefer to do now in my practice is look at what's possible for change for that person. And I went off and did some study on looking at motivational interviewing for behavioural change and learnt that only a third of people will make change. And the biggest and the hardest thing to make change in is diet. And I think that's because primarily we're tribal and eating is a very social experience that we do. And so I think, hands up, if you live on your own, you maybe don't make as much effort as if you were cooking for somebody else. And so if you have a whole family where you're all eating the same food and then all of a sudden you have to eat something different, that becomes more of a stressor. So what we like to do is look at what's possible for change in the home for you with lifestyle changes. And I guess it also depends on how motivated the person is to make change and how much they want to conceive, for example. And it's about getting both parties on board, so both potential parents on board to support one another for those nutritional and lifestyle changes that we seek for natural fertility management. So part of lifestyle modification can include encouraging physical activity. We live very sedentary lives now. Bill Gates proposed in the late 80s that we would be, you know, lead a more productive life. But in actual fact, with the age of technology, we're working harder than ever. We're working round the clock. We're exposed to blue light at night from our computers and our iPads and our phones. If, you know, you're 80% of the population, the first thing you do in the morning when you get up is you look at your social media on your phone and you look at your emails, you know, so wow, 80% of the population that have technology are doing this, which is incredible. And not to, of course, negate all the data that's been collected from you, that they know that you're on Facebook and checking your social media is alarming in its own right. So, you know, so that's part of stress management as well. So you're checking your phone before you go to bed at night and you're checking it as soon as you get up in the morning. Or if you have insomnia, you're also checking your phone in the middle of the night too, to see what's possibly become, you know, whilst you've been sleeping for a few hours. So we're addicted to our technology. So that's an area that gets addressed too, in terms of stress management. Healthy nutrition, as I've suggested, that's a work in progress with many couples. And of course, smoking cessation as well. And then there's the genetic test that I talked about, and then this other testing screening that might take place as well to look at a woman's egg production. So even with these strategies, we can see that despite increased life expectancy, diabetes is probably one of our biggest concerns in society today. It's, you know, it's the morbid obesity, the nervous system that's affected, the cardiovascular system that's affected is decreasing life expectancy. And so we're seeing more and more mothers with gestational diabetes as well. So it's preconception care, but it's also looking after yourself during those natal times. So looking at epigenetics, it describes the heritable changes in the gene function that don't get involved in the change of that genomic makeup. So we know from nutrigenomics that by giving particular nutrition, we can drive a particular pathway that was prior switched off. So very, very important not to, you know, discount your blueprint that you're going to be passing on to your child. And it's interesting that during the process of conception, the whole body will go through, because of the body is so intelligent, it will clean the sperm and the egg gap, and then they come together so that it's got the best possible chance for survival. And so, you know, all of the studies and research that's going on around this, it's just incredible. So I often think, gosh, the more I know, the more I don't know. I've opened up this can of worms, and then you feel you don't know anything. But we do know so much more than we did 5 years ago as research is gearing us towards, you know, genetics. So one of the key things that we like to focus on is looking at methylation. And as I said, it's involved in the starting point of much. It's phosphorylation is the first thing that happens in every single cell, and second to that is methylation. So methylation is something that's really key, especially if you're having repeated miscarriages. We know that methylation is a problem there. So again, that screening is really important to do. Nutrition, so your B vitamins, your folate. So one of the highest folate containing vegetables is peas. And so there's no surprise that you have multiple folate receptors in every single cell, because it's second to everything that goes on. Green leafy vegetables. So, you know, just by doing tip of the day, by juicing green leafy vegetables and having a high content of folate in your diet, supporting that natural methylation process. So, and you feel good for it too. So it's giving you all of your folate, it's giving you B12 with your green leafy vegetables and helping those epigenetic factors that we talked about earlier. So That's just giving you a bit of a teaser, a bit fast on a 101 on preconception care. But if you have any further questions, you can get me on info@sammcsorley.co.nz, or you can get me at my clinic, which is 03 9298 508. You've been listening to Fresh FM. We play on Tuesday mornings at 11 a.m. and again replay on Sunday afternoons at 1:40.
I have something to tell you. Hey, set off.